Turn with me in your Bibles, please, for our second reading to Numbers chapter 34. Numbers chapter 34, verse 1. Hear now the inerrant, infallible, and inspired word of God. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land of Canaan, this is the land that shall fall unto you for an inheritance, even of the land of Canaan with the coasts thereof. Then your south quarter shall be from the wilderness of Zin, along by the coast of Edom, and your border, your south border, shall be the outmost coast of the salt sea eastward. And your border shall turn from the south to the ascent of Akrabim, and pass on to Zin, and going forth thereof, and the going forth thereof shall be from the south to Kadesh Barnea, and shall go on to Hazar Adar, and pass on to Asmon. And the border shall fetch a compass from Asmon unto the river of Egypt. And the goings out of it shall be at the sea. And as for the western border, ye shall even have the great sea for a border. This shall be your west border. And this shall be your north border. Excuse me. From the great sea, ye shall point out for you Mount Hor. From Mount Hor, ye shall point out your border unto the entrance of Hamath. And the goings forth of the border shall be to Zedad. And the border shall go on to Ziphron, and the goings out of it shall be at Hazar Enan. This shall be your north border. And you shall point out your east border from Hazar Enan to Shepham. And the coast shall go down from Shepham to Riblah on the east side of Ayan. And the border shall descend and shall reach unto the side of the sea of Kinnereth eastward. And the border shall go down to Jordan, and the goings out of it shall be at the salt sea, and this shall be your land with the coasts thereof round about. And Moses commanded the children of Israel, saying, This is the land which ye shall inherit by lot, which the Lord commanded to give unto the nine tribes and to the half-tribe. For the half-tribe of the children of Reuben, according to the house of their fathers, and the tribe of the children of Gad, according to the house of their fathers, have received their inheritance, and the half-tribe of Manasseh have received their inheritance. The two tribes and a half have received their inheritance on this side Jordan, near Jericho, eastward, toward the sun rising. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, These are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you, Eleazar the priest, and Joshua the son of Nun. And ye shall take one prince of every tribe to divide the land by inheritance. And the names of the men are these, of the tribe of Judah, Caleb the son of Jephunneh, and of the tribe of the children of Simeon, Shemuel the son of Ammihud. Of the tribe of Benjamin, Elidad, the son of Kislon. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Dan, Buki, the son of Jogli. The prince of the children of Joseph, for the tribe of the children of Manasseh, Haniel, the son of Ephod. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Ephraim, Kemuel, the son of Shiftan. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Zebulun, Elisaphan, the son of Parnach. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Issachar, Paltiel, the son of Azan. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Asher, Ahihud, the son of Shalomi. And the prince of the tribe of the children of Naphtali, Pedahel, the son of Ammihud. These are they whom the Lord commanded to divide the inheritance unto the children of Israel in the land of Canaan. May God add his blessing to the reading and to the hearing of his most holy word. Well, so here we have a very simple chapter as far as the history of it is concerned. It's a very straightforward narrative, and yet it is a narrative that adds what we might call credibility to the whole, right? Because, I mean, what would we expect? Here we have this real piece of real estate, real land with real geologic formations such as rivers and hills and compass bearings such as north and south and east and west and, the Mediterranean Sea or what was called the Great Sea. And so we have all of these features of the land, and then we have this border, this compassing of the land, this laying out of what the Lord has given to them and what the Lord has not given to them. On one side of the border, that's somebody else's, and on this side of the border, it's yours. And so notice that it's not, again, it's not an if proposition, if you get to the land, but it's when you come into the land. And so once again, the promises of God are made sure to his people. When you come into the land. By the time we get through the Decalogue and get into Joshua, we'll find when we get to Joshua chapter 21, like we said last week, that God gave them all the land that he promised to Abraham. Every bit of it, every square centimeter of it, was completely given to the children of Israel, just as the Lord had promised. And so here is the border of that land. So we speak of brooks and streams and rivers. It had lakes. It was a wonderful land. I don't know if any of you have ever seen photographs of that area, especially in the midst of what surrounds it, what a wonderful land it is. If you go to the south, you know, we're talking about Kadesh Barnea, and we're talking about the wilderness of Zin, and south of that into the wilderness of Sinai, you understand why the Lord fed them with bread from heaven when they were wandering through that wilderness, because there may not even be a lizard to eat in that desert. It is as stark a place as you could imagine upon the face of the earth, with the exception of perhaps the northern extremes, the polar regions. It is an extremely difficult place. But right in the midst of that is this precious jewel that the Lord prepared for his people. When he told them about it originally, he told them, it's not a land like you live over here in Egypt where you have to dig for water. The Lord God waters it with the rains of heaven. It's not, these aren't, you won't have to send for gold and silver and brass. This land that I'm giving you, it's got hills, and out of those hills, you'll be able to dig up gold and silver and copper and make your alloys and your metals and build your implements for farming and for war. This is not a land that you must ship in goods, food from all over the world. This is a land where you will be able to graze your sheep and raise them for meat. This is a land also that will grow your crops, your olive yards, your vineyards, your fruit trees, your almond trees, your pomegranates, your apples, all of it. This is the kind of land that the Lord had prepared for his people. And yet, let us remember that this land was not the terminus of the promise, that this land only stood in as a type of their heavenly inheritance. And so as wondrous as that was, excuse me, as beautiful a land as that was, as large and wide a promise as that was, well, it just paled in comparison to that city that Abraham himself looked for, whose builder and maker is God. So the land, as wondrous as it was merely a type of their heavenly inheritance. And then finally, the last section, the Lord spoke to Moses in verse 16, and he says, these are the names of the men which shall divide the land unto you. Notice that there was an organization and an authority that they weren't just simply turned loose into the land to stake out their own claims. There was an ecclesiastical leader. His name was Eleazar the priest, a church leader. There was a civil leader. His name was Joshua, right? We remember Joshua. And then the heads of each of the tribes, the 12 tribes, and they were to work together to lay out the inheritance of the people of Israel in that new land that the Lord gave them under a pattern of organization that was described in the last chapter. If a man has a lot, then he should receive more in his tract of land than a man that has little. That everyone should have what they need, and this should be divided to the children of Israel according to their lot, according to their need, and according then as this inheritance was laid out by these rulers and leaders within Israel. And so notice it was not an every man for himself proposition. It was something that was ordered. It was something that was regulated. It was something that proceeded with an understanding to authority and law. Well, that's a very important point as we move forward then in the land of Canaan, because what we're going to find out is that those tracts of land that were ceded to the children of Israel became their family tracts as long as Israel existed as a nation. And that those people that lived in that day were to have a particular confidence in the leadership of that day, that the Lord was with them, dividing out all of those properties in such a way that everyone would have what they needed. And so, yes, it did take a measure of faith for them to do that. It also took a measure of submission, that they might have to just swallow their objection when they see their neighbor who gets a little bit more land than they did. But notice that according to this structure of authority, these things were meted out. And so it was not a haphazard process, but something that the Lord had ordered very, very closely. All right, that's all I have for Numbers chapter 34. Let's continue praising God.